In the name of the triune God, let us quiet in opening prayer. Holy and righteous God, our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this day that you have awoken us to this spring-like morning where we can see and feel the warmth that you have created. Dear Father, we wish to thank you for all the gifts and everything that you have given unto us, things that we realize and understand, but also for those many innumerable gifts that we cannot understand. Some things we will never be able to understand while we are yet here upon this earth. We pray unto you, dear Father, that you would yet continue to call those that are yet not partakers of this kingdom, your prodigal sons and daughters. Call them back into your fold. We thank you, dear Father, that you have given us strength to this day to be your own, and that we are in your eyes heaven acceptable as we desire to put sins away as they attach. As we approach you this morning, dear Father, we pray unto you that you would open your word, and that you would open our hearts to receive that which you have meant for us this morning. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Before I read our text for this morning, I come before you with many, many doubts and sins. Can I believe all my sins and doubts forgiven? I thought I would read the Word of God as it is recorded in the third chapter of Genesis, the first seven verses. We read in Jesus' name as follows. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Amen. First, I want to bring the greetings of love and God's peace from the children of God there in Spokane, Washington, where I was a couple weeks ago for ski days. Many of them sent personal greetings that I haven't delivered yet. Probably some that I won't even remember. But if you have friends or relatives, children that are in Spokane, they did send their greetings to you. This text that we read is a really familiar text for most of us. We have heard spoken from it, and as we heard, it's in the very beginning parts of the Bible. This is in the third or fourth page, so it comes very early, the fall of man, very shortly after God had created man. And if we would begin to read the scriptures beginning from the first page, we may understand what the word means when we read them, or words, what they mean, but our minds cannot comprehend the greatness and the awesomeness of the Word of God. He created physical matters with His Word. He said it, and there it was. Those things are impossible for us to understand. And as I already spoke to a dear brother on the way in here, we don't even know how little we do understand. And as we read God's Word, there are many things that we pause and maybe read again and again, and we ponder and we wonder what it means, why it happened, why somebody said what they did, and so forth. And as I was looking at this text that is before us this morning, I had that same thought. When the serpent, the enemy of souls, came into something that was perfect, God said to this point that everything was good. There was nothing wrong with what God had created. And now the enemy of souls was placed into a situation that was perfect. And in my mind I thought, why did God do this? Why did he allow the enemy of souls to enter into such a place that was perfect? And maybe you are personally wondering or struggling with some things that are scriptural, but not comprehending the depth of it, what it means, and why it is in such a way, and so forth. The secrets of God, as the Bible says, I believe it's in Deuteronomy, it says that the secrets of God, the secret things of God belongs to God. And that which is open to us, it belongs to us and our children. So if we could always remember when we ponder the Word of God, and it just does not open, it's not clear to us, we can't understand it, to remember that those things are then God's secrets. They are not revealed unto us. And to not begin to force to open it, because then we are starting to translate the Word of God with our own minds. And if that happens, we know that it's not bringing us any closer to God, but it's bringing us further away from God. And for our life of faith, it is not beneficial in any way to try to make reason based on our limited understanding. So to this point in scriptures, before the temptation of man, there has been no sin recorded in the scriptures. It's not only amazing to entertain that thought, but impossible to imagine a world with no sin. And if we think of it in that way, the world would be a place that is in complete harmony. There is peace, happiness, and everyone is content with their lives, what they have, and so forth. There is nothing that they lack. Those are just amazing things to even begin to imagine. Adam and Eve, who were in that garden, they didn't know anything that was negative. They didn't know anything that was not good. It was perfect. Everything was perfect. And it's oftentimes we hear that some things that it seemed like paradise, and this was in every sense of the word, they lived in paradise, in God's perfect paradise. They had everything they needed. But as we heard, yet they went, both of them, against the commandment of God. Much has changed in the world in a very short amount of time. And especially you elders, you can think back to your childhood. Much has changed, and that's only a very, very short amount of time. But as we read over and over again in the scriptures, we can sense that man has not changed a whole lot. We can relate to the many Old Testament and New Testament believers. We know this very personally, that in many ways we are just as weak as they are. And in many ways they are just as weak as we are. We know how weak and prone to sin we are. Our flesh is very, very weak. Just like the first people on earth, Adam and Eve. They were deceived by the enemy of souls, and they both ate of something. They took of something that they were not supposed to. So along with that fall, along came sickness, doubts, death. Sin had entered the earth. The serpent, as this portion says, was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And the serpent began to speak to the woman and said and asked that, has God said that you should not eat of every tree of the garden? So the enemy of souls, in the form of this serpent, is creating doubts, attempting to create doubts in the mind of Eve. Did God really say in this way? And up to this point, these two, they were enjoying and living of childlike faith. And maybe you older ones, when you get to a certain age, maybe have thought also in that way, that if one can only be preserved in this childlike faith day after day, that I don't begin to grow in the wrong way, where doubts can so easily cloud up the way to heaven. It was so something that you didn't even ponder when you were very young. And to this point, Adam and Eve had also been living that life, childlike faith. Nothing was questioned or doubted upon until the enemy of souls came to stir the pot. And from that we can understand that doubts, again, do not bring us closer to God, but it brings us further away from God. And we remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by the devil, and Jesus responded to the temptations of the devil with the Word of God. And at the end of the day, the Bible says that the angels in heaven rejoiced. We can think of it in this way, that when we put away our doubts, because they do come and they do attach many times a day sometimes, that when we do put them away, that the angels in heaven, they are rejoicing. So then Eve began to discuss with the serpent. And she told the serpent that we can eat of the fruits. We can eat of the trees in the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God had said that we should not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, otherwise you will die. And then the serpent responds to Eve and said that, no, you will certainly not die, even if you do those that God has commanded against, that you're not going to die. And continues that God does know that in the day that you eat of it, then your eyes will be opened and you will be as gods, knowing good and evil. So now we can imagine Eve listening to the words of the enemy of souls, speaking to her in an appealing way. Maybe this was the weakness of that Eve had. And the enemy of souls knew. And I think we all have experienced that part also, that the enemy of souls knows what our weaknesses are. And she begins to ponder the words that the serpent has spoken to her. And then the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took the fruit thereof and did eat. Now, if we would remember that this was the very tree that God had told them that you can eat from all the other trees around here, except for that middle one. That one you cannot eat from. Or if you do, you will die. And to remember that God had given them everything that they needed, They didn't lack anything. They didn't need to take from this tree. But she did. So why would they not be content when in God's eyes they had everything that they needed? Brothers and sisters, this is not very far from any one of us. And I have thought many times that this picture that if only they would not have fallen, if only they would not have gone against God's word, how pleasant life would be, how pleasant the world would be. But isn't this Bible portion meant for us? Weak ones. If we would keep reading in scriptures, we could see that even though they were chased away from what was God's and man's paradise, they were not left to die, left to fend for themselves, but a helper was given unto them. And we can even think about it in this way, that they had everything they needed in paradise, in the Garden of Eden. The kingdom of God is also such a place. The Bible says that seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all else will be added unto you. Everything that we need for our life of faith is in heaven, or is in the kingdom of God. But yet, isn't it so that so easily we do fall into sin and we realize that we did do something that we know that God has told us, don't do that, but yet we do. Even if we have everything that we need in God's kingdom. And I think it's in Peter, it's recorded how in the 2 Peter, the second epistle of Peter, Peter greets in this way, that grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And then he goes into what we just spoke of. According to his divine power, hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So by being in God's kingdom, the Bible says that we will receive everything that we need for our life. God will give us all that we need. He will also give us everything that we need for our life of faith. So even in a childlike way, we can simply trust and believe that there is no place no place that you can ever imagine upon this earth that is a safer place or better place to be than in God's kingdom. That's what the Bible tells us. And we can simply and in childlike way trust that it is true. So when they had, and then the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the tree thereof, and did eat, and also gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So after they had both eaten, the last verse in our text says that the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves around them and made themselves aprons. And this aprons is referred to here on the side of this Bible as coverings. So after they had both fallen into sin, gone against that which God had told them not to do, they became mortal. Sin had entered the world, and now they were going to die, just like God had told them. Before that, man was not designed to die. But now, God had said that if you eat of it, or if you touch it, you will die. Now they're not gonna die right away, or they didn't that very day, but they were going to get old. They were going to feel pain. They were going to feel sadness and sorrow. They're gonna grow old. And they will die because of sin. All those things came along with it. They both knew that God had said to not eat of it. It is not for you. That tree is mine. Don't take what is mine. And the punishment followed. So the Spirit of God, which God had blown into the nostril of man, and the teacher in their heart, now they had fallen into sin. It reminded them that they had gone against God's word. They realized that they were naked. And they began to cover up. They sewed fig leaves to cover their nakedness. And the paradise that we heard of earlier, paradise as we know it, it was gone. And from that point, the world would never be the same because sin had entered the world. Up to this point, they were walking side by side with God, very close, They went right where God went. And when the fall of man happened, God continued to walk straight that way. And man separated themselves from God. Man went the other way because they believed the lies of that deceiving, sly serpent, that you will be, if you eat of that fruit, you will be just like God. Man fell, and they fell into sin. And imagine, and then we see the nature of God, His grace and mercy. Imagine if God had forgotten them and left them alone to deal with their own sinfulness when they had fallen away, gone against God's word. If we would continue to read the very next verse, it says that they heard the voice of God. And Adam and his wife, they were hiding from God. Hiding in the middle of the trees. And God called them. So here we can see that, again, their weakness, how that childlike faith was not present in the same way as it had been just a short while ago. They had fallen into sin. They didn't run to God. Does that describe us? That when we have fallen into sin, that we don't run to God. We get ashamed. We get sorrowful. We know that there is something there that needs to be put away. But our flesh is fighting against it. Our mind is telling us otherwise. No, you can live with this. You don't have to put this away. There is still room for a little bit of sin. It's still going to be fine. I know, for me, that's many times the case. Those steps to put sins away are sometimes very heavy, slow, and it seems that it's a long journey to put those sins away. But meanwhile, when we are going through this internal battle against that sin, whatever sin it was, it doesn't matter what sin it was. Whatever it was, we know it. Meanwhile, God is calling us to come toward Him. just like it was with Adam and Eve. They had fallen into sin. They were trying to hide it. They battled. They didn't run toward God. God, in His infinite love, searched them who had fallen into sin. Dear brothers and sisters, often in the Bible we can see that these former believers, they were not perfect people, and luckily they were not. It would discourage us a great deal if we only heard of such ones that always did what was right, never fell into sin, and so forth. And through faith we can understand that God forgave them after He had talked to them in the following verses. If we would keep reading, we can see that God was speaking to them, that they had gone against His word, and they had done something God did not want them to do. And just like the many former believers in the scriptures, they have received a very precious testimony from God that even though they had fallen into sin, they wanted to put that sin away, and they were victorious over sin when they endeavored as a child of God when they died. We don't have to be perfect, and thank God for that. We just need to have a tender conscience that will remind us to put sin away. It's very simple, but oh, how it can be so difficult so many times. Those former believers in our midst that have received the victory, they were not perfect, but in God's eyes, they are now perfect. Nothing bad can reach them. They are, from the day they left this world, they will forever be perfect in the eyes of God. Does it not pay to continue in God's kingdom, just as those former saints, some of them who we know very closely, they didn't continue to live in sin. They wanted to put sins away. They didn't put faith away. So the result of this fall of man, God gives them a promise that He will send a Savior to pay for all sins. And we are so oftentimes reminded of how our Lord and Savior Jesus died on the cross because of all the sins that have ever been committed. For all the sins that we commit to this day, Jesus paid for them all. Dear brother and sister, this morning, we all know personally that we are weak travelers. We fall into sin, and you know what sin you have fallen into. We don't know. We can't name all sins by name. Some we can. But whatever it is, I want to encourage you this morning to lift up your heart and believe that all your sins and all your doubts are forgiven in Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. God does not remember them anymore when you wish to believe. And this is why the gospel message is such a strength to us, because we can get so overburdened by the amount of sin and the doubts that we may have. It does slow our journey down. There is no doubt about that. But this day, we can make those new promises to God that I will try again. I will try to be obedient again. None of us have been successful. But by the mercy and grace of God, we can try again. All your sins have been wiped away in the name and blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.